Welcome to Harvest Worship Center, a study in the Word. And we're in the middle of this is lesson 8, on an in-depth study on love. Today's message is the established heart. So we're going to get right into the Word after we pray. I'm excited about this message. This will be, I know it's going to go into next week too, so I may as well tell you this is part one of Message 8. And so anyways, Father, we thank you for this time together in the Word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share together. It's so awesome, Lord, that you've opened the doors of your heart and invited your people in. You, as a matter of fact, you've invited all mankind in, if they'll but come. So, Father, today we rejoice in the fact that we're able to come and sit at your feet and receive revelation knowledge of your Word, that we can see into your heart and have our hearts knit together with yours, Father. We're so thankful for it. Thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy, and your grace. Lord, we're such a blessed people. You have done so much. And we thank you, Father, that we're just starting. There's a big adventure ahead for all of us. And even in our now moment, today is an adventure as well. So we thank you for this Word, and we receive it from your heart to ours. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last week, we ended in Psalm 91 and verse 1 and 2, and Psalm 91 verse 14 and through 16. So instead of going through those in detail again, which I'll have to start over with this if I do that, there's so much in Psalm 91, but since we've been talking about the established heart, and last week we talked about guard your heart above all that you guard. That was last week's message. And this is tied to that. So we're going to start in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Read it. Say only what the Holy Spirit wants to bring up at this moment. And then start with where we are today. I do encourage you, these messages are all available on rallaharvest.org. That's our webpage. Just click on the Sermons tab and you can go down through the messages. There are several years worth of messages there, and you can find this series in there. Also, you'll be able to find these videos on Facebook after they're done. So I encourage you to go back, listen to these. It'll build your faith. It really will. We as a people need to know the heart of God. We need to know who He is and who we are, especially in this dark time. So let's start off in Psalm 91 and verse 1. This is the Amplified Classic, which I'll be using for the most part. But it's similar, except it's amplified. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, Amplified Classic. He who dwells or lives, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, now that's my part, this is my part, this is your part. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. Amen. Now that's our part. The rest of the psalm is related to our doing, verse 1 and 2. But notice it says dwell. That means it's a permanent abiding place. And that's what we're talking about here. Being rooted deep in love, and today the established heart, establishing our heart. And then God's part is found in Psalm 91. After we've done verse 1 and 2, then He declares the promises. And then starting in verse 14 of Psalm 91, God Himself speaks. Now, what do we know about the Word? It's absolute truth.
Amen.
So when we read this, when we get this into our heart, we see God's part in this. We see from His angle of view what He will do if we make Him our dwelling place, if we set our love upon Him. This is what God does, but it's contingent on what we do. Okay? If I don't do this, then I don't apply here. But if I do verse 1 and 2, and I make my heart linked with His heart, I make a decision. I'm going the Word way. I'm anchoring in the Word. I'm making the Word my life. When I do that, then I open the door for God to do what He wants to do. He's not just saying, I'm stubborn here. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do anything. It's not what He's saying. We're working on covenant here. We're involved in what God does. When I submit my life to God, that opens a door for Him to do what He wants to do. So He wants to do it for everyone. But if the person doesn't open their heart's door to God, then there's certain things he can't do, because the person limited God. God's unlimited, but that person has a part to play. So we have a part to play. So when we set our love upon God, this is what God does in Psalm 91, verse 14. Again, Amplified Classic. Remember, this is God speaking. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore. So what He's about to say is, because this person set His love upon Him, so I want this. So what do I have to do? I have to set my love upon Him. Amen. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing that I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, glory to God. Now, is there anybody here or watching online or listening to this audio that doesn't want that in their life? If you want those promises, then you have to set your love upon Him. It means He's first place in your life. And so, I got such a messed up life. How can I possibly do that? I'm not near ready to come to God. I don't have my life cleaned up. You can't clean your life up.
That's right.
He does.
Amen.
What you're responsible for is to set your love upon Him. To make that decision in your now moment. Not the next moment that you're not in. And not in your past, where you are this moment. You set your love upon Him, and then He can start moving in your life.
Yes.
And the next moment, you set your love again upon Him. When you're making decisions throughout your daily life, you set your love upon Him as you make that decision. And that decision is based on your love for Him, not on what the world says.
Right.
You've made a decision here, I'm going with God. No matter what happens around me, I'm going with God. I'm going to let His love flow in me and through me. I'm going to be an instrument of His love to others. I am going to allow the fullness of His heart to be in my heart. That's what He wants. We know that God is love. We've been studying that. He's the person. So that's all He can do. He can't do anything but love, because He is love. And if we're not walking in love, we're not receiving Him. So we're involved in that love. But we're also instruments of that love. Because it says, as He is, so are we in this world, in 1 John 4:17. As He is, so are we in this world. We are born of love, for love, to love. That's who we are. We're love creatures, whether we're loving or not. So this is vital. This scripture right here is vital. Say, well, Brother Michael, that's Old Testament. Yes, but it hasn't changed.
Amen.
Matter of fact, it's increased.
That's right.
Because of the cross. He's so in love with us that Jesus went to that cross so that we wouldn't have to.
Amen.
He paid the price for us so that we could set our love upon Him. And He loved us fully, even knowing that some of us will not. That person is still deeply loved and dearly prized by God. What they've done or what they haven't done is not restricting His love for them. It's restricting that person's ability to receive that love.
Right.
But not God's love. God doesn't love one person more than another. He loves, period, because He is love. And if He is love, then He's loving me.
Amen.
There's no one that has ever existed or ever will that can ever say, I'm not loved. They can't say that. Because God loves everyone. For God so deeply loved and dearly prized the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, see, that whosoever, in other words, it's a choice. I'm making everything available, God said, to everyone. All they got to do is receive. That's all they got to do. That's the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Now, if I don't choose to do that, if I don't choose to receive what He's done for me, That's my fault, not God's. And if I don't do that, if I don't do it, then His mercy can't work there. We need to understand that I'm involved in what God does. I'm involved in that. So, I can't spend much time here, but it's so important. This is so important to us to understand. Because He has set His love upon me, that's the contingent. That's also how we dwell in the secret place. That's where the protection is. That's where the revelation is. That's where His mercy and His grace and His loving kindness, that's where everything that He wants us to be is located. It is there. I have to set my love upon Him. He will deliver me. He will set me on high. What is it in your life you need to be delivered from? Maybe yourself. Maybe it's something out there. Who knows? Maybe it's jail. Who knows what it is? But I don't know about you, but I've made some messes in my life. If you only knew. I've made some messes in my life. But I'm not alone. Aren't you with me? You've done that too. Every one of us has. There's nobody that hasn't done that. So He said, if I'll set my love upon Him, He'll deliver me. Now that deliverance is a process. It takes time. It takes relationships. It takes my heart continuously being in His heart, continuously receiving His word, continuously correcting myself as I go through my life. It's a process. That process takes place in my now moment. And as I do it in my now, then it continuously works. And God is continuously changing me.
Yeah.
It's not God's fault if I don't receive. That's my decision and mine only. So when I do that, then He delivers me. He sets me on high. What's that mean? Well, if you're in warfare, you need the high ground. Mm-hmm. You don't want the low ground. You don't want the valley where all your enemy is above you shooting down at you. You want the high ground where they got to shoot up and that arrow comes back at them because it can't get up high enough. So I want the high ground. Gene, you've been in the military. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You never want the low ground. No. That stupid cavalry officer that wants to ride into the ravine and his sergeant says, no, Captain, we don't want to go in there. The goon's in there. We don't want to go in there. Those Indians are right there. I'm going in there. You're following. So he leads them in there and they all get killed. Whose fault is that? Not the Indians. They had the high ground. So in our life, when we're going through life, we want the high ground. And He's the one that sets us on that high ground. So He will deliver us. He will set us on high because, this is why He does it, because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy and love and kindness. So I have a personal knowledge of it. I've experienced it. And He trusts and relies on me knowing. This is something I got to know. I, God, will never forsake him. No, never. God will never forsake Michael. He will never forsake me. He is right there. Hallelujah. I will deliver him and honor him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. Show us my salvation. Now that's linked to this week's. Now we'll start today's. Proverbs 3. Now we're not going to finish this by any means because there's at least two other sections of scriptures, maybe three sections of scripture that we need to bring into this study on the established heart. Pardon me just a moment. I'm dry as an old cob today.
I want to say something while you're doing that. Anytime we talk about the Lord's name, He's indicating covenant and what He will do.
Yes.
Because we are called by His name and we call upon His name.
Yes. There's covenant exchange there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's that relationship. Anytime you're talking about setting your love upon Him, you're saying, I'm entering covenant with Jesus.
Well, it's because you said, He knows my name.
Yes, He knows my name.
Yeah.
Because we're in covenant. That's so important. So Proverbs chapter 3. Now, as I said, we're talking about the established heart or establishing our heart. What does it mean to be rooted deep in love? That was a few messages ago. We talked about how that's so important to be rooted deep in love. And then we talked about guarding our heart. But now we need to talk about what's in that heart.
Amen.
So for the next couple of weeks, I know we're going to be talking about this. So the established heart, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, again, the Amplified Classic, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, what's that sound like? That sounds like Proverbs 4, we talked about last week, doesn't it? Matter of fact, if you're doing a study on this and you get into Proverbs 3 or 4, put the two together. Because they're so linked. There's so much revelation in Proverbs 3 and 4. And if you read them together and look at them, you'll see that they overlap. Mm-hmm. They overlap. It's basically the same subject. So as we read last week, our scripture last week was Proverbs 4, 20 and through 23. But here in verse 1, verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. And here in Proverbs 3, 1, it says, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Well, what's his commandments? His commandment is his word.
Yeah.
His commandment is law. You know, so basically what we could say, keep this wonderful covenant word that I've given you. So keep, forget not, or keep it in your mind and heart. Filter everything through it. Forget not my law or teaching, but let. And here in our Bible study, maybe not where you're at out there listening today, but the words like let, put, but, if, so, those little words mean so much. So those words, if, but, put, let, they are vital when you're reading the Bible. Stop on those words, and another word is therefore. Look at those words and see, because they are commandments, they're decisions, they're choices. They change what's being said there. If you leave those words out, then those scriptures that you're reading are different. But here it says, let your heart. So what's that automatically tell me when it says to let my heart? That automatically tells me I have to make a decision here. I'm going to have to choose to do this or not do it. Let. In other words, God's not going to do it for me. No one else can do it for me. I have to do this.
It's like it says on your phone, allow or don't allow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let or don't let.
You're giving a permission. You're making a decision. So here it says, my son, forget not, so that's my choice again. Don't forget this, keep it in your eyes and heart. My law and teaching, or the word. But let your heart, don't forget them, but instead of forgetting them, let your heart keep my commandments. So you're not just reading them, you're doing them. You're saying, okay, that's what it says, so I'm doing that. Why doesn't it say, let your mind? Because we are a tripart being. We are a spirit. That's who we are. That's the eternal part of us. That's the real us, the spirit. We have a mind or emotions, a will. That's our mind. That's our soul. And we have a body. We're three parts. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. The body ceases to exist. Our spirit will not. That's who we are. And when the Bible's talking about heart or mind, the mind is our connection with our now moment. It's connection with this world we're living in, with the natural world. Our spirit's who we are. So if I let my heart or my spirit keep this word, if I make a choice that I'm going to receive this and do this, when I do that, then my heart or my spirit is in control. I'm spiritually minded. That overrides my mind. And now my thinking gets in line with my spirit. So I become spiritually minded. My thoughts become spiritual thoughts. They become God's thoughts. They become word thoughts. They become love thoughts. I make that decision. And every time I make the decision to walk in love and to do the word, to walk the word, my spirit man gets stronger and more in dominance over my mind.
Yes.
If I don't make that choice, then I wind up functioning on my mind, and that's natural, and I'm going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all my failures are located, is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having difficulties with my mind, feed your spirit.
Yes.
And start making love choices. Start making word choices. Start feeding on God's word and feed your spirit man. And it will rise up in dominance in your life. And then your mind will be changing. It's called a renewing of your mind. That part's not born again. You have to renew it. And it can only be done with the word of God. It's the only thing that can renew your mind is the word. So that's what he's talking about here. That's why he says, let your heart keep my commandments. Now, if I do this, if I do verse 1, if I forget not his law or teaching, and I let my heart keep his commandments, then verse 2 says, for. There's another one of those small words. For, this is why, for length of days and a life worth living and tranquility inward and outward and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Notice that word add. What happens when you add something to something? It's at this place right here. Now I added something to it, and now it's up here. What happens when you add two and two? You don't no longer have two, do you? You got four. That's what it's saying. So when you add these things, when you do these things, when you forget not his law or teaching, and you let your heart keep his commandments, they do, verse 2, they give you length of days and years of life. But you know, you can have, I like the way the Amplified puts this here, because you can have length of days and long life, but it'd be miserable.
Yeah.
Is that a plus for you? Not necessarily anymore. But if you have length of days and years of life worth living, what makes it worth living, where the Amplified says? Because I've set my love upon him. Now, no matter what the darknesses are that I go through life, no matter what the tribulations and trials are that I go through in life, it's worth living.
Amen.
I have a reason to live. I've got love flowing in and through me now to others. I'm no longer self-centered. I don't think about me all the time. I'm thinking about other people.
Hallelujah.
I'm thinking about those who need around me. I'm even loving my enemies. But Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him.
Hallelujah.
So there's favor here. Even though I got these enemies around me, for some reason, they no longer hate me like they used to. Because now there's something about me. They can't explain it. But it's the favor of God.
Amen.
Flowing in and through me. Because I'm doing this. It adds to my days a life worth living. And then it says, continuing in verse 2 there, it says, and tranquility inward and outward. And then this part I like.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing till old age, till death. Through old age till death. Now, I'm no spring chicken anymore. I think like I'm 20, but I'm not. Got to add a little bit to that. So I like this last part here, that it's going to add tranquility to me, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death. They shall add to you. I like that tranquility. I'm at rest in my life. My life is tranquil. No matter what the troubles and problems and issues of life are coming my way, because I've set my love upon him, because love is in my life, because I'm making that decision to make the word my life, final authority. I have a relationship with God. Because of that, I walk through the issues and problems of life with rest.
Yeah.
I walk through my life. I still have the problems. I don't have as many.
Mm-hmm.
Because God steers me around a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I still have problems and issues. They may even look different than they would have before. Maybe even be more numerous. But no matter what they are, he delivers me out of them all.
And he grades them, things that used to bother you might not anymore.
Exactly right. I'll walk right through them because there's rest in my life now. I'm not flying off the handle all the time. I'm not in bondage to these things. I still got to make decisions. I don't want that in my life. I still got to make decisions. But now I've got an anchor. I've got something that will hold me in that time of trial and problems and decisions. I've got a Holy Spirit inside me teaching me how to choose. And the love is rising up in my heart and it's controlling my mind.
Amen.
Because I'm spending my time with God. I'm in His Word. I'm walking in love. I'm making love decisions. So love is working. And it changes the atmosphere around me. Now those people that know me in the past probably going to see me the same way. They'll say something like, they're off the end now for sure. Now, I didn't like them before. I like them even less now, you know, because they got all this God stuff going on. Watch them. Mm-hmm. You think it's God stuff. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not going your way anymore. I'm happy. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. The problems I have are really small. Well, that's not no small problem. It is to God. So it is to me. I'm walking through this in rest because I know that He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's right there with me, no matter what the trouble is. And that's a decision I've got to make. I've got to take that by faith. But the Word says it's impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
So if you don't trust Him, if you don't set your love on Him, you can't please Him. So He can't work. What pleases God is the ability to work in my life. That brings God great joy. When I open the doors of my heart and I say, Lord, my heart's yours. I'm walking with you. I don't care what's going on around me. And when I slip and fail, I'm going to come running to you. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to come to you because you love me, Lord, and you'll never cast me out. You're going to lift me up, and I'm going to repent when I fail. You'll set me back on high again because you love me. You're never going to leave me. Hallelujah. We're talking about an established heart. This is an established heart. This is one. Now that doesn't, as I said, that doesn't happen overnight. It happens through relationship. It happens through stages, through now a whole group of now moments. But He will take me right where I am right now and establish my heart in this now moment for this now season. I don't have to be concerned about the next now moment because He's already got that. Because I established this one. I like what David said. In Psalms he said, my times are in your hands. I love that. My times are in your hands. They're not in the devil's hands. They're not in the world's hands. They're not in my past. My now moment is in your hands. And you're leading me where you want me to be. And in this dark season that we're living in, we better be making decisions for God.
Amen.
We better be doing it because it's not going to get any brighter, not in the world. But where we live, it is.
Yeah.
We're going to walk through this and rest, peace, knowing He loves me and knowing that I've set my love upon Him. And even where I'm out of order and maybe don't understand, He'll teach me. He'll teach me.
Amen.
He'll take me right, just as you do that little baby. He'll take you one step at a time because you're setting your love upon Him. He will teach you. He will do that, but I have got to yield to that teaching. So, I like this. I'm going to walk in tranquility, inward and outward. Now, we know that we've talked about this numerous times, but I need to keep saying it. These are absolutes.
Yeah.
Now, what's in an absolute? An absolute is something that can't be changed. The devil cannot change it. I can't change it. God will not. This is what He said. Now, if he said that, then He'll do that. If I line up with it. If I line up with it and do what I'm supposed to do, if I do that, because of love, He always keeps what He says. He never changes. If He said it once, it's that way. And I need to know God's Word is absolute truth. Cannot be changed. Now I can choose it and receive it or not walk in it, but it's still the same. God's Word is truth. And everything, no matter what it is conforming to that. And the church better wake up. We've got work to do.
Amen.
And if we're not going to do this, then we're not going to be the light to a dark world that we're supposed to be. That's up to us. It's up to us, not up to God. It's up to us. Then verse 3, there's that word again at the beginning of it. Let, not. Now before it was a let. So that's something I got to do. I'm receiving on that end, right? This one says let not. That kind of changes it when you put the not on the end of it. What's that mean? Let not. I mean, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't allow this to function. So let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart. I'm going to read it without the amplifications and then come back with the amplifications now. Let not mercy and kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the tablet of your heart. Now, why did the Amplified put those amplifications in there? Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness. Because that's the opposite. It's the opposite of mercy and kindness is hatred and selfishness.
Yeah.
You can't be kind to someone and be self-centered at the same time. Now, you can do something nice, but the reason you're doing it is so that you get something out of it. That's why you're being nice here. You're getting something out of this. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. But when you're walking with God, you're doing it at your expense, no matter what comes back to you. You're loving that person. Now, that's what it's saying here. You shut that out. You shut out. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out. What do you do when you shut out something? It can't come back in. You're shutting out all hatred. Not part of it. All hatred. You're shutting it out, and you're shutting out selfishness. You're no longer thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others. And then it says, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood. Why? Because it's the opposite of truth. See, you're shutting out hypocrisy. What's a hypocrite? Someone says one thing and does another. It's a hypocrite. They're showing this lifestyle, but that's not who they really are. So you shut that out. And then you shut out falsehood. What's a falsehood?
Lie.
It's a lie. Now, I didn't say anything, but you thought it. Your actions done
rolled
that.
Rolled your eyes at it.
You did that. You can lie without saying a word. If you make somebody think something by your actions or by what you do, and you're doing it to show them something or to present something to them, but you haven't said anything, have you lied? You have deliberately done that to deceive that person. That's a lie. Now, I used this example in other studies. I'm going to have to quit here in a minute, but I used this in a study about a year or so ago that we had. If Gene tells me something, and I take it as true, and then I come along because I trust Gene, she might have got it from somebody and thought it was true.
Right.
Chances are she told me she did, because she's not a person who lies. But say she deliberately said something to me to deceive me. I took it as a truth. And I told one of you, somebody, I told Ida this. And I told it because I believed it. Have I lied to Ida?
No.
No. I did not deceive her. I told her what I thought was the truth. But was it the truth? No, it wasn't.
No.
But I did not lie.
Right.
I was lied to. So we got to be careful how we define a lie or a deception. Because I portray something to somebody thinking it's true, I've not lied. I've done everything I know because it's truth to me. Now, if I find out that Jean didn't tell me the truth or she was deceived, mm-hmm. and not correct and telling me the truth, I don't hold that against Jane. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I may have to come to Ida and say, I apologize to you, Ida. I found out that what I told you wasn't true. This is what really happened, as far as my understanding is, this is what happened. But I apologize for telling you that, because it was not the truth. It was the truth as I knew it. So remember these things. You think, well, that's a fine hair. No, it's not. I did not deceive anybody. Mm-hmm. So a lie is a deception. So we shut out all deception. And like I said, you can deceive somebody by your actions. You can deceive somebody by what you do as well as by what you say. Mm-hmm. So, let not mercy and kindness, that's why it's putting it here, shutting out hypocrisy and falsehood, because it's not true. We walk in truth because he is true. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate and hypocrisy and falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Mm-hmm. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. In other words, let kindness or the word and the love of God be wrapped up around your neck where you're never without it. It's part of you. It's wherever you go, you walk in truth, no matter what, at your cost. Mm-hmm. No matter if it hurts you, you walk in the truth because it's his truth. And I can guarantee you, God will honor that truth. Mm-hmm. He'll take care of you in it.
Amen.
No matter what it is. Because God's faithful. He is truth. Okay. Now, since I already mentioned it, I'll do this verse, and I'll have to start here next week again. So shall, verse 4, so, or because you're doing this with mercy and truth and kindness, so shall you find favor, good understanding and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. So shall you find favor and good understanding and high esteem in the sight and judgment of God and man. When you walk in truth, people know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know you're doing that. They may not like what you say, and they may not think it's even true, but they know you don't lie. They know you walk in truth. They know you walk in mercy and kindness. They know that because they've watched your life. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't walked in much of that. Well, start now.
Yeah.
Start now. Don't worry about what you haven't done. Make a change today. And ask the Holy Spirit to cause your ears to hear when you're speaking wrong or when you are walking outside the love walk. Let him show you. And then don't condemn yourself for it. Repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I thank you for bringing that to my memory here, for showing that to me that I failed here. And I receive your mercy and grace, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And if I need to do something to correct that, just show me what it is. Because he'll strengthen you in it. And he'll show you if you need to go and say something or do something. You may not. But you know in your heart when you've deceived someone. You know in your heart when you're not walking in love. Even people that don't know God as their Lord and Savior, they still know they're not right. And it's time that the church start walking in this kind of honor and integrity.
Yeah.
With an established heart. We have to be established in our life and our walk. We'll take up there next week, and there'll be a part 2, I knew there would be, on the established heart. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Father, for bringing these truths to us so that we can walk in them. We may not know any of this. But Lord, you're busy teaching your church because in this dark hour, it's so vital that the church be the church. Mm-hmm. That we walk in your truth and in your love. That the world see something in your people that's not in the world. This is a outstanding opportunity for the church to shine. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing this work in your people. Give us ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today.
Amen.